I'm going to talk about planning. The Lord, a very familiar passage of scripture here in Jeremiah 29:11, to talk about, I'm using as a subtitle, it's the Lord knows his plans. And understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that, first of all, God has a plan. And the Lord is fully aware of what his plan is. What his plan is for us individually, for us corporately. Don't ever think that God is trying to figure out what to do. But God has full knowledge of what he is doing. And all the things that are happening around us, none of those things can stand in the way of God's plans being carried forth. In fact, as we look at the uncertainties of this new year, we can face these uncertainties with confidence. It's important to hear this now. We are facing 2022 with confidence. Confidence, see, if you place your confidence in God, then you can be content. You could be in a state of contentment, even though things around you are disturbed. But you are in the center of the storm. You're in the center of God's will. And there's peace in the midst of that storm. So with this, that's why it's important we look at the necessity of the prophetic word. Why? What is the prophetic word? What is God saying? Some people think prophecy is merely being when one would say, thus saith the Lord, and begin to highlight particular events that will take place in one's personal life or one's individual life. But understand what prophecy is when we can see the larger picture. When we're looking from God's perspective at all of the activities that's taking place around us, and then we're postured to bring some light to it and some understanding as to where God is in the midst of all that's taking place. And what that does, that produces stability of heart and peace of mind, brought to a place where things don't have us in a place where we're so worried and so full of fear and frightful. The Bible says, and I'm reading this out of the New International, the NIV, the New NIV verse. It says here in Jeremiah 29:11, this is what God said. He said through the prophet, he says, for I know the plans that I have for you. He didn't just say, I know my plans, but I know my plans that I have for you. You can put your name in that. You can put your name there. Let's read that again. And this time, I want you to call your name out. God is saying, God knows, say this with me, God knows the plans that he has for me. Say it again, this time put your name in it. God knows the plans that he has for Woodrow. What's your name? Say it. He says, and this is a declaration from the Lord. He said, their plans to prosper you and not to harm you, not to hurt you. He said, plans to give you hope and a future. One says future and a hope. Some says to give you an expected end. So not only does God have a plan for you, God has an expectation for you. God knows what he expects to do in your life. God's expectation, that which God is desirous of accomplishing. He said, I know what I want to do. I know what my plans are. I know what I desire to accomplish in your life. I'm also aware of all the pitfalls. I'm aware of all the things that or trying to get you to a place of circumventing or actually disrupting my plans for your life. Don't think that God has a plan for our lives and that there's not an enemy that's there that's trying to disrupt the plan of God. But as God knows the plan that he has for us, our objective is for God to show us what he knows. Now, I'm going to give you an expected end. My intention is to give you hope, is to really bring you to a place where you can see beyond the moment. Yes, we're in this cycle, we're in this situation right now, but God has already looked beyond the moment, and he's saying this will be the outcome if you place your trust in me. This will be the outcome. I already know it. I have a plan. And if you let me carry out my plan, the outcome will be to give you a future, an expected end. There's something that God is developing within us as we go through whatever we at this moment may be going through. He says, I know what it is. Now, it behooves us to pay attention to what the Lord is saying so that we will have a clear understanding of what the Lord is doing, because God reveals his plans through his word. So in other words, we ought to pay attention to what God is saying. Pay attention. Take heed to the word of God. The enemy would like you to make your own plans and to be at a place where you lean to your own understanding. You begin to try to figure life out on your own. And whatever, I'll talk about this after a while, even your own precautionary measures, thinking that you're safe as a result of what you've done to protect yourselves. But the Lord says, I have a plan that he said will projects beyond all that you're seeing and all that's happening in this day and this hour. He said, I'm going to bring you through with a future and a hope. Now, the question on the table is, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Who has your attention? Who has arrested your heart and your minds so that now you're at a place whereby you're paying more attention to those voices than the voice of God? Because there's a whole lot of talking. There's a whole lot of communication taking place at this particular time. In fact, I talked about frequencies these last couple of weeks. And understand, we understand something of static and interferences that occur when the signal is being interrupted. Do you see? When the signal is interrupted, there's something taking place that's disturbing the flow. When God is trying to get a word across to us, yet it came forth clearly, but the signal is lost in translation when people are not attuned to what God is saying and what God is, in fact, doing. That's why you have to take heed to the word. We have to pay attention to the word of God and pay more attention. Who has your ear? And who, this is what the scripture says about it, if you want to, and I'm going to give a lot of references because it is the word of God which is a light into our path, is a lamp into our feet, a light into our pathways. As we go through the word of the Lord, we can find the guidance that we need for our lives. But here in Psalm 33 and verse 10, let's look at this scripture here. Psalm 33 and 10. He says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. Now we're talking about collaborations. We're talking about people that will begin to negotiate treaties and peace treaties, or even declaring war when they would come together and they began to look at and assess the matter and say, well, this will be the actions that we're going to take as a nation. Because what happens, this is how we interpret the events of our day. Therefore, this is how we ought to respond or react to the things that's happening around us. So understand, in our day, there are wars, and there are also rumors of wars. Are you hearing this? There are threats. I mentioned the other day the threats that's taking place with Russia and China and North Korea. Let's not dismiss it. Let's not discount the fact that there are threats that's taking place. So we think of one area that may be under siege or that might be attacked at this particular moment. But the truth of the matter is that we begin to see, if we look at it circumspectly, that things are being disturbed all around us, all around us, nature. You say, well, if this thing doesn't happen, what about nature? Look at the natural disasters, tornadoes and hurricanes. Right here, the testimony that we're speaking of. You say, well, I'm safe. You're not even safe at home. Why? Because when disaster strikes, or how disaster can strike, if we're not really at a place of placing our confidence in God, there's no place of safety. So then he says, so what do we do? So we consult with those that we think are experts, that we think are authorities. And the Bible says, the Lord brings the nations, the council of the nations, to nothing. God will bring us to a place whereby whatever you place your confidence in, God will expose it as not being as secure as you thought it was. Are you still with me? You see, I thought that this would remedy that situation. I thought this would remedy this situation, and I'm really pulling at straws. And then I find out that none of these things that are being presented to me are secure enough to keep me, because I'm still vulnerable. So he brings, but now we begin to look at personal, but he does the same thing with nations. He brings the council of nations. I don't care what kind of organization you might have, the nations come together and begin to counsel. He said he'd bring it to nothing. And then he deals with individuals. He makes the plans of peoples of no effect. All your plans. We talk about knowing the Lord's plans. He will bring the plans of the peoples, the plans of the people. What are your plans? What did you plan for 2021? When you were leaving 2020, entering into 2021, what were your plans? What were your plans? What were your plans? What are your plans for 2022? What were your plans in 2018? What were your plans in 2019? Were you able to carry out your plans? Were you able to carry out the things that you desired to do in the past? And the Bible says, he makes the plans of the people of no effect. In other words, the word is saying that God, we know the enemy does certain things, but we also, let's look at where God is in the midst of all the activity. God interrupts our plans when we make our plans independent of him. He interrupts our plans. In other words, he will not allow us to do what we planned to do if we're planning outside of his will. He said, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. Oh, you got to hear me. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. In other words, the position that God has already taken, because he's God, Don't call him God unless you're going to trust his word. He's not your God. Whatever you trusted in is your God. Whatever you place your confidence in becomes your God. But the reason he is God, because his counsel stands forever. What God has decreed, you're going to find this out. What God has decreed will be carried out to every dot and every jot and tittle of what God has spoken will be carried out to the letter. So we can go into the Word of God and have confidence, you see? You can go into the Word of God and find out. You can pinpoint exactly where we are. You gotta guess. It's not guesswork. You can find out exactly where we are. That's why we have to go into the Word, and we have to not just read through the Bible, speed reading, but go through with a heart of discernment. We have to be at a place where we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what God is saying. Because, you see, it's not just a matter of reading the Word, but it's having an understanding of what the Word is saying so that the Holy Spirit is revealing to us his truth. It is the truth revealed by which we live. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every revealed word of God. How shall they hear? Without a preacher. And how shall he preach except he be sent? So therefore, the stone that the builders rejected, it comes all the way down to the point when people reject the prophetic word, or they think the prophetic word is something other than that which is the prophetic word. We miss the signal that comes to us from heaven that we can be prepared for whatever we're facing and be guided by Spirit through whatever we may be going through. So he brings his counsel, will stand, it will stand. Go back and look at his history. Go back and look in the history. That which God has spoken and those words that were fulfilled, we begin to see how God, I mean, dates, times, situations, it is written. It is written. And we see it. So I mentioned on New Year's night, amen. It will be like this. His counsel stands forever. But here, the plans of his heart to all generations. The plans of his heart. The plans of his heart. I know my thoughts that I have towards you. They're peace and evil to give you an expected end. Not only a future, you see, not only your personal lives, but for your lineage, for generations to come. I know the plans that I have for your children. I know the plans that I have for your children. Not only that, I know the plans that I have for your children's children. Lord, you looking all the way down. Well, they're not even born yet. God is saying, I already have a plan for them. He said, Timmy, how far ago? I know my plans that I have for your children's children's children. However deep you want to go with this thing. So what he is saying to us is that following God now will affect generations. Following God now, doing what God would have us to do right now, will have an effect upon all the generations that are yet to come. So you understand what God is saying. So now it goes back to us. I know my plans that I have towards you. That's to give you peace so that that peace can be transferred to the next generation. I know my plans that I have towards you so that you'll have something to give to others. And not just your opinions. I know my plans that I have towards you. Plans of his heart to all generations. And then he goes on and he talks about this nation, which is in flux, as it is nations all over the world. But he says, the only nation that will be blessed in the midst of all this chaos is a nation whose God is the Lord. That's only one. The only nation that will be blessed. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Now, if we talk about a nation whose God is the Lord, it also applies to individuals. Blessed is the individual whose God is the Lord. Lord, submitting, surrender. What have you submitted to? You're submitted to something. Either if you submit to an opinion, you see, then you're submitted to something. If you submit to your research, if you submit to your analysis of things, then you see, you submitted to something. You are subject to something. But you're not blessed until you submit to the authority of God. And he's God, whether he's your Lord or not. He is God. What he said, he is the ultimate. You see, there's nothing beyond him. When you say the word God, you're talking about supreme authority. You're talking about the one who super rules over all things, the one who has the final word, the one that knows the end before the beginning. And not only that, everything in between, he has knowledge of everything. Not only that, that's from a panoramic view. But then he gets very detailed. He says, I know the numbers of the hairs that's upon your head, even the ones that you combed out, I had number on them. How can you be so vast and large to understand every planet, to know each star by name? Stars that are not even discovered as of yet. You know each star by name, the numbers of the stars by name. But yet you know the numbers of the hairs that's upon our head. What a mighty God we serve. He said, I'm God. Besides me, there is no other. Besides me, outside of my jurisdictional rule, there's nothing. Even though you call it something, it's nothing. It has no strength when it stands before me. That's God. But then to say he's Lord, that has to do with us submitting to his jurisdictional rule. It is saying, you are my Lord. When we call him Lord, Jesus is Lord, we're saying the life of Christ is a life that resides within me. Now I'm saying I'm submitting to the one who knows. I'm submitting to the one who has authority. You see, I'm being taught of the Lord. I'm being instructed by the Lord. I'm allowing his, whatever he knows, to govern my life. So he said, so what happened? Blessed nation whose God is the Lord. He said, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. When you see, don't think that you just arrived there, but you were chosen by God. You were chosen. Let me put it this way. God is desirous of those who are godly for their children and their children's children not to miss out on the instructions that he gave. You see, it is the inheritance. You see what I mean? He talks about his own inheritance. It is God's inheritance. God gave that to you. That's the gift that God gave to you, whether you accept it or not. Godliness is a gift from him. I began to think about even my grandfather, who was a pastor. And I began to think about it. My dad wasn't a pastor, but my grandfather was. And my uncles became, some of them became pastors. I know two of them became pastors. Then I saw the children of one of them was a pastor. His children became pastors. But then we began to wonder what was passed down from generation to generation. I'm not saying that Grandpa Oliver Wiley Walker got it all right, but God's plan. Are you hearing something here? God's plan. What God had planned for the Walker clan was given to Grandpa Walker so that there were those that would catch hold of the inheritance that came from God. You see what I mean? Through him, they were able to receive. Do you see that? They were able to receive it. So now what happens, what you do with it, you can waste your inheritance, or you can use it or invest it in a way that it will be beneficial to generations to come. And when I think about it, I said, Lord, I want what you gave to me to be rightly invested. I don't want to squander the investment, the inheritance, because I realize where it came from. But yet, you see, that's a decision. You see, that walking in the ways of your fathers, walk the ways of the fathers. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we see some of the sons that begin to go in a different direction. But understand, but their inheritance, they wasted their inheritance. You see, they exchanged the inheritance as it was with Esau. You see, we begin to see what happens. You see, something else was, it was more tempting. Something else was more tempting, and therefore they would give up the inheritance for what they were able to perceive as having value. Let me go on here. But he's chosen you for his own inheritance. We talk about what's happening in our day, all these variables and uncertainties. We mentioned threats of catastrophes and wars, disasters all around us. We have to still count up the cost. Count the cost. I was thinking about some of the missions trips that we took in the past. Some of the missions trips that we took. You see, we have to, I know one missions trip we took, several times. We go to Philippines. In the Philippines, I was told by one of the pastors who preceded me, he was going to Philippines before I start going there to this particular ministry. And he was amazed at the fact that I would stay at the compound. That's where the people, the pastor stayed, and many of the people there stayed, students even stayed in the compound. And he was amazed. He said, there are hotels. There are a few hotels here. Why aren't you checking into a hotel? I said, they provided a room for me. Now, when they provide a room, brother, remember, Brother Earl, that room is a room that... mosquitoes. It's a room that, you know, I think my room eventually put an air conditioner unit there, put an air conditioner in the room. But you talk about all kind of rats and all kind of things happening in the room, you see. But it was still a room that they prepared for me. So since they prepared that room for me, knowing that they were doing their best to give me their best, what I look like checking out of the room that they prepared for my own convenience? How can I minister to them? What do I have to say to them when I can't identify with them to the degree of sleeping in a place that they had provided? So the first thing I had to do is stay there. Was there. Some of you taking this trip before, you know what I'm talking about. And not only that, that pastor warned me, don't eat that food. Don't you eat that food. He said, you're going to learn one of these days, Pastor Walker. He said, that food is not sanitary. So you need to stop eating with them. I don't eat with them. That's what he told me. I don't eat with them. I don't sleep with them. But then I said, but how can you relate to them when you stand aloof, you stand apart from the people that you've been called to minister to? So what I did, what we did, and our missions, all of Robert, many who's been over there, we just blend in, don't we? We just become a part of the culture. We become a part of the culture. And the person that was giving me all these warnings died prematurely. He died prematurely. I'm not gloating over this. I'm saddened by this. He died prematurely. And he had taken all precautions, all the shots and all the precautions. He had done everything to protect himself. But yet, in all of the efforts that he had made to protect himself, it was not enough to protect him from death. And for the most part, it was the fact that he had overly prepared himself. He had gone so deep into preparation that it was really the preparation that took his life. I believe that it was the preparation that had taken his life, because he was trying to make sure that he had crossed every T and dotted every I until he had come to the place where it was, I guess, overkill. And in all that, but I'm showing you the time, because I'm saying we have to be sensitive to the voice of God. When God said move forward, we move forward. When God said don't move. We were getting ready to go to Jos, Nigeria. That was another situation. And you know, Jos is part, northern part of Nigeria. It's north of Lagos. And we had all the plans. In fact, I don't know if Carol, if you're my secretary then or not. You might have been. I don't know. We had the tickets ordered. And the tickets supposed to have been delivered, but the tickets had not made it as of yet. And but I had a check. I was invited by this bishop, and I had a check in my spirit that I don't supposed to go. I don't supposed to go there. And I couldn't understand why I had this check. I just didn't. I knew that Jos was not a very safe place, but I've been in dangerous places before. But this particular time, I believe there's a Holy Spirit that was checking me and said, don't go, don't go. So when I came back to the office, I asked, had the tickets been delivered yet? I think the person that was picking them up had gone to pick up the tickets. I said, well, cancel it. I'm not going. I'm not going. And then I found out not long after that the place that we supposed to have been going to was taken over by I would say Muslims that were very violent, and the place was ransacked and many lives were lost. And us being Americans, we would have been the first ones that would have lost our lives. But you see what I mean? So we're led by the Spirit. There are times that we have to take precautionary measures, and then there are times we have to move forward in spite of whatever danger may lie before us. Remember the situation when Paul was told by the prophet Agabus, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't you go to Jerusalem, he said. He began to take the garment, the thing and tie his hands and feet. He said, when you get to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen to you. But Paul said, not only am I willing to suffer in Jerusalem, I'm willing to die there. I said, isn't that foolishness? And I've heard people preach this, and they said Paul was foolish to move beyond that which was prophesied. He said when he should have received that prophecy as a warning, but no, Paul had an agenda, an assignment given him by God that very much cost him his very life. But yet his willingness to obey God was stronger than any other impulse that might have been on his part. Jesus was told by Peter, who received the revelation, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he said, don't go to Jerusalem, no. He said, get behind me, Satan. You are more mindful of things of man than the things of God. So oftentimes God will let us know that whoever we're submitted to or surrendered to will determine our destinies, and our lives will be governed by that. So now, as we continue on, we begin to see how God works this. He even said, and I was looking at something here, and I'm not going to go into deep because of second time, but in Acts 16 and 6, we see another situation where Paul was not permitted by the Spirit. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit would not permit them. Lord wouldn't let them go to a place that they wanted to go to. A vision appeared to Paul at night. The man from Macedonia stood, because God had another plan for it, and pleaded with him. He said, come over to Macedonia and help us here. Don't go to where you thought you wanted to go, but go where I want you to go. The objective is to align our plans with his plans. That's the only place of peace and security, is when our plans are aligned with his plans. Now, let's look at plans again. Let's look at this for a few moments. Here in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9, It says a man's heart plans his way. A man's heart. So it's really, let's stop there for a moment. It's really a way or means of exposing to us where our hearts really lie. A man's heart plans his way. Where's your heart? A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You see, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord, you got to see this. It says, a man's heart. Where's your heart? Sometimes, you see, you make plans and you are set on doing a particular thing, but the Lord directs your steps. He won't let you do what you plan to do. So in other words, your heart then is grieved because you're not postured to carry out the plans that you made for yourself. But the Lord directs the steps. The Lord opens up opportunities for us when we align ourselves with his will. But he will also forbid us from walking into things that he would not want us to walk into. Proverbs 19 and verse 21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. Many plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's counsel. It's what God has predetermined. We've mentioned it several other ways that will stand. It will stand. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who takes counsel. Now we talk about the Lord's counsel that will stand. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who takes counsel but not by me. They take counsel, but they're not listening to God. They're listening to other voices, but not by me. Let that sink in for a moment. They take counsel. In other words, they're not just acting what we would consider to be rashly because they are listening to others giving them advice, but they're not listening to my advice. In other words, they dismiss God out of the whole equation. And he said, there has to be a mind that's superior to God's mind. There has to be a thought process that is more accurate than God's process. And understand what God is saying here. He is saying in essence, he said, you would trust that which, we look at fallen humanity. I want to cover this for a moment. Look at Eve who took the suggestion of the serpent. He said, do you realize that's a fallen spirit? He rebelled against me even in history, and you would trust his counsel over my counsel? You would place more confidence in what the serpent has to say than that which I have to say to you? And then he says that, you see, Eve was deceived, but Adam just outright sinned because he acted upon the will of another. I got a whole message on that. I wish we could preach it, but it's going to be very painful when I preach it now. Because I'm going to talk about some cases where this was carried out, where people will begin to listen to the counsel of their wives, as it was with, and we need to pay attention to what our wives have to say. But understand, men need to man up when it comes to spiritual matters as well. I got a whole message on that. I'm holding back now. But men need to man up. You see, men need to start taking leadership in spiritual matters and determining for the household the direction that we ought to go rather than the suggestions that will come from the wife, because understand, she's under authority, all to be under authority. So being under authority, you need to be giving leadership and guidance to her rather than her giving leadership and guidance to you. I'm getting into that message that I want to preach here, because what happens, oftentimes the woman is more spiritual than the man, or the wife might have been saved before the man was saved. So therefore the man, some men begin to lean more towards their wives for spiritual guidance and direction rather than listening to God. But a real man will listen to God and say, this is for me and my house. This is what God has spoken. And I'm taking into account everything that you're saying, but I still have to hear God speak. He'll speak through her, but you better pay attention to what God is saying, because if it's not God talking, that's not your counsel. Let me get off of that one, because that's a whole nother message. But understand this. His counsel will stand. Woe to rebellious children, says the Lord, who takes counsel but not by me, who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add, you see, sin to sin. They add sin to sin. Am I getting through to you? What they do, they add sin to sin. In other words, they add mistakes to mistakes, error to error. You get off track and you try to justify a decision that you made when you made a wrong turn. So therefore you make another wrong turn. And you compound the problem. You say, you made a decision that was a wrong decision. And then you try to cover that by making another decision. Have you seen that happen before? Remember, that's what happened to David, right? When he saw Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and he tried to cover it by having Uriah killed. You see, so what happens, people try, you think, if you compound the problem, that you would eliminate the problem, but you make the situation worse. It's like picking out a sore, and that sore never heals because you're not working towards bringing about a remedy. But what you're doing, you are trying to cover a situation that need to be corrected. Let me leave that alone, because we're almost out of time, but woe be it if you add sin to sin, sin. The sinner who adds sin to sin, adds sin to sin. I messed up, so I'm going to mess up to cover my mess up. I'm going to do something so that you won't see it, so that you won't discover it. I've seen it happen so many times in ministry. Over these 40-some years, I've seen it happen where a person needed to have repented and just say, I missed it. I missed it. But now they'll say, yes, I know in my heart I missed it, but nobody else knew. Nobody else knew how much I missed it, how I missed God's. I stepped away from God's will. So what I'll do, I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do the other. And what are you doing? You're making matters worse, because there is a God who oversees all that's taking place. He's looking at it according to his plan for your life, not based upon your decisions, but based upon his plan. I know my plan. So in this year, let's go back and let's recover that which God had planned from the beginning. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. The Bible says, trust in the Lord in all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will give direction to your paths. So this year, as we're proclaiming, we're heralding what this word means, it has to do with a measure. Proclaiming the goodness of God has to do with a measure. We measure to exhibit or to account in detail the measure of trust and dependency that we really have on him and in him. How much do you really rely on him? How much do you really trust in him? That's what a proclamation is all about. God is wanting us to make a proclamation this year. so that we provide evidence that he is our Lord, that he is overseeing our lives, determining the direction for our lives, so that every step of the way, we're seeking him, that his Spirit will give us guidance. What shall I do, O God, in 2022? That's my prayer initiative. I'm praying, Lord, what course of action must I take? I don't want to make the same mistakes that I made in 2021. I don't want to live a circular life whereby I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. That's insanity. But I want to get some traction this year. I'm saying, Lord, whatever you say, church, I want to be so foolish in my deliverance that I would allow his word to come forth through me without fear or favor. Are you hearing me? Whatever God is speaking, I want to be his mouthpiece, so that you're hearing not just with it being said as something to introduce a message when I say, thus saith the Lord, but when I speak, I want it to be the Lord speaking to your heart and to your mind, the very thing that he has to say. So Lord, we thank you so much as we have entered into this year with confidence that you will lead us and you will guide us into all truth, that we, Lord, can trust your guidance throughout this year. There are so many things that you have placed upon my heart for your people, and you did it. So therefore, I have no option other than to deliver the very thing that you'd have me to deliver, because that's my assignment, is to be one to deliver truth. But you are the truth. Jesus, your son, said he is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we receive it, we receive you through receiving your son. So we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. As we look back and we learn from our mistakes, we learn from the past, we learn from the error of our ways, so that every experience becomes a teaching moment for us, that we're being taught of the Lord. So we give you the honor, we give you the praise, and we give you all the glory for who you are. Be glorified. Your goodness, God, your goodness, your good God. And we proclaim that goodness for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.